Welcome to PPM Simplifies. This is a weekly podcast that will help you have a better understanding on environmental regulations and how they relate to your industry. In each episode, we'll talk with experts across various industries who will share their insights with you. This is PPM Simplifies. Hello, and welcome to the PPM Simplifies podcast. We're so glad you found us and are tuning in with us. We have a fantastic podcast for you today. We're joined again by Ms. Annie McElwain, our office manager out of our Jackson, Mississippi office. If you remember, Annie has her master's in engineering from Ole Miss. So I'm not an Ole Miss person, but I can say hotty toddy to her, and she would say something right back to me because that's what you do. There's no better party than an Ole Miss before a game party in the Grove. There's nothing better, is it?
No, we lose a lot of games, but we never lose a party. So
that's a great way of looking at it. And but Annie's been kind enough to join us today for our podcast, and we are going to talk about waste. That is a really big topic, and fortunately, Annie's here to help simplify it for us. That's what the podcast is about, PPM Simplifies. So with that introduction, Miss Annie, you ready to get going?
I am.
Awesome, awesome. So here we go. So to our audience, when we think about waste, how many different types of waste from a business industry standpoint do you need to kind of think through, just kind of simplify that universe for us?
You know, really, it comes down to solid waste, and then it comes down to hazardous waste. And inside of hazardous waste, you have things like universal waste as well. And, you know, these are typical waste streams for commercial, industrial, I mean, even remediation work. You really have to think about each of those things and how you're going to handle your waste streams.
So at a point, you know, anything that is discarded, anything that is produced that you can't reuse, you know, that becomes a waste stream. And some are more difficult to deal with than others. Some have to, you know, I mean, just think through, and maybe let's start with a more complicated waste stream and hazardous waste. Okay. What type of permitting, you know, considerations have to go in as you're thinking through a haz waste stream?
So you have different classifications for haz waste. You know, what really comes to mind first is if you're a generator of haz waste, you know, you could be classified as a conditionally exempt small quantity generator, a small quantity generator, a very small quantity generator, or a large quantity generator. And, you know, with each one of these, you have reporting requirements that vary state by state, honestly. Some states choose to go with, you know, the federal requirements, while others are a little harsher or a little stricter rather than harsher. You know, very small quantity generators are going to be the ones that generate 100 kilograms or less per month of a haz waste, or 1 kilogram or less per month of an acutely hazardous waste. Whereas your small quantity generators, a step up, it's going to be the generators that generate more than 100 kilograms, but less than 1,000 per month. And then your large quantity are going to be those that generate over 1,000 kilograms per month. You know, if you're a large quantity generator, you can only keep your waste on site for 90 days, no more than 90 days. Whereas a small quantity generator can keep it on site with about 180 days. And, you know, with each one of these, anytime you're managing hazardous waste, you've got to label it properly. You've got to put it in a designated area and, you know, keep documentation, keep waste manifest. A lot of documenting goes on with it.
And, you know, you also have, you know, time too, because haz waste, you know, the regulatory agencies, they just don't want that lingering on the site. So you have to move that along quickly. What would be, you know, I guess I'm going to think of kind of a really difficult waste stream. Let's say that you produced, you have a process and you produced some benzene contaminated dust that, that accumulates, you know, in a capture vessel. How long would you have to properly dispose of that?
So it just depends on how much you accumulate. You know, if you're going to accumulate over 1,000 kilograms a month of it, then you have 90 days. And it, you know, must be properly labeled with the date that it was accumulated and put over there. And you have to, you know, stay on top of it and get it shipped off properly with all the, you know, correct documentation and manifests in 90 days or less. You know, you have more leniency if you accumulate less than 1,000 kilograms. But, you know, it just depends on what you're classified as and the amount you accumulate.
That is extremely good guidance. So Annie, I read a quote from Peter Kors, and it said, "Waste is a resource out of place." So as we maybe go into some other waste streams, mm-hmm. would you subscribe to that school of thought?
I do, and I like that. I haven't heard that, but it is definitely true, and it's one of those things we encounter all the time in our business.
No doubt about it, and that's a big thing, because disposing of waste, certainly hazardous waste, mm-hmm. is our more expensive waste to dispose of.
Yeah.
And then you get to solid waste, and you know, a lot of times, as you have a steady waste stream, you can kind of negotiate that because, you know, the landfill has a good sense of what's coming, and they can kind of work and make sure they're putting it in the right spot in their facility. So let's transition to solid waste. What are some hacks, you know, as you consider your waste stream from solid waste, what are some tricks that our listeners could use as they kind of evaluate, you know, what their stream means to them and how they should manage it?
So solid waste can be actually very complex. You know, solid waste is, it has to pass, you know, analytical criteria to be determined non-haz. And then when it is, you can start to think about, is this a waste or could this be beneficially used? You know, a waste is only a waste if no one can use it. And it's very important to watch, you know, what we call a waste, whereas what we call a material. You know, you have options like reusing or things like secondary non-hazardous materials, which are, it's somewhat the same as beneficial use. And it's, you know, you basically have a byproduct of some type of process that there is someone out there who wants to use it. They can incorporate it into their process, whether it be through gasification to, you know, create energy, or even, you know, there's just a whole myriad of ways that people use things and have gotten creative with technology to use some of these byproducts so that waste can be reduced. And then, you know, beneficial use also, what it is can you use a material for things like a soil amendment, or for construction or civil projects? And what that basically is if you have a material, like let's say we have, you know, wood ash, that's actually a really great soil amendment. You know, there are farmers who agree to accept that. And then that is actually being used to benefit their crops and their land rather than just going to a landfill. So, you know, there are ways around calling things a waste. There are ways to use solid waste and make it an actual helpful material.
And that's being very smart about how you're managing your waste. And you talked about this a little bit earlier, and I want to go back and restate this too. When you're thinking about waste streams, there's a de minimis amount to where you're not really ruled by any regulations, if I said that the right way. And you can kind of manage that as long as it's not, you know, hazardous or, you know, contains some risk to human health or the environment. Then you go into small quantity, into large quantity. Mm-hmm. As a general thumb, if I've got a manufacturing operation and, you know, I know I've got a waste stream going out, what's the size difference between having to get a permit and then having to get a large permit? Is there any kind of guidance or rough rule of thumb, you know, just for say you're, you know, got maybe a plastic waste stream that you're creating, what size would that need to be to kind of hit those different gaps? Or is it really kind of state, I know it's state dependent.
Yeah. Yeah. It does get a little confusing because some states, you know, say if you're generating it, you got to have a permit, period. Whereas other states, say, hey, for small quantity, you can keep it on site for 180 days and not have a permit. But, you know, either way, obviously, if you're a large quantity permit, that's a given, but again, I hate to say it depends, but it just does. It depends on what state you're in and just how strict they are about it.
And you and I talked about this on our last podcast. The great thing about state agencies, we think, and Annie, I know you agree with this, is they're great resources to reach out to and talk to about, you know, your processes and what you're going on, and they will give you guidance and even have programs to where they'll help kind of lobby for you to make sure you're doing it the best way you can.
Yeah, absolutely.
So another area in waste, and you spoke about this, is universal waste. And that's been a term that's been around for a little bit. And doesn't that speak to just kind of not necessarily, I mean, anyone can have universal waste, but more non-manufacturing, more just commercial businesses not recognizing the fact that they're creating a waste stream with, you know, fluorescent bulbs that don't work anymore, et cetera, batteries, on and on and on. How would you describe universal waste?
Yeah, so universal waste was created really to cover very common waste, like what you were saying, ballast, batteries. Now, aerosol cans are even included in that. And that's a whole nother topic in itself, because there's a lot of benefits and cons to treating aerosol cans as universal waste. But it was, you know, a way to, like you were saying, allow, you know, commercial businesses and even industries to accumulate these wastes for a little more time without having to just get rid of them immediately. If a large quantity generator might be used to getting rid of their haz waste that it applies to every 90 days, but with their universal waste, they have a year to accumulate it, put it in the right spot, make sure it's grouped up and it's labeled. And it just kind of gives a little more leniency on that.
And it does. And then some of those waste, they can be recycled too, can't they?
Batteries can, yes. They can, you know, if you get them to someone who will drain them and reuse. There's other options. And again, it's only waste if it's thrown in a landfill and gotten rid of or incinerated, obviously. But yeah, I mean, there are ways to reuse universal waste as well.
So I'm going to give you another quote. And it's actually from Peter Kors also. Switch them out this one. Find pollution or waste, and you have found something that you've paid for but can't sell. Mm-hmm. You found inefficiency. Fundamentally, all pollution is lost profit. Mm-hmm. Wait, that one. You like that one?
Oh, I love that. And, you know, something that I would love to see, and it's it really just has not been perfected in a way that is easily reproducible, would be, waste to energy operations. And to, like what you said, you know, instead of throwing away something that could bring us a revenue stream or, you know, some money in our country or throughout the world, we could reuse it to do things like create energy or just a variety of other things. But energy is kind of the first that comes to mind.
Now, I was thinking about resources too. I know there's an association. I don't know if I'll get this right, but I think it's called, is it CMEC or CHUMA, which is the Solid Waste Association.
Yeah.
There we go. And you can get some really good information from their website too. There's also, ASWAMO has got tons of great guidance and papers.
Yes.
Too. So, you know, not only do you have environmental consultants and state regulators that can help you, but there's also trade associations regarding waste and what type of waste you have that they've got a lot of resources to help make sure you've got best practices.
Yes. Yes. There's, you know, waste regulations can be very confusing. RCRA is honestly one of the more confusing regulations out there. So, you know, there's plenty of resources to help, including us, but SWANA is great, very helpful organization.
No doubt about. We so another area, you know, thinking about waste, in your career, which you've been at this for over a decade. You started when you were 12, but you've been at it. And what's the craziest waste story? You know, without naming clients, without naming states and cities, can you think of just kind of the craziest waste story you've ever run into? I've got one I could share if you don't.
Yeah, well, the one that comes to mind is actually kind of a recent one, and it's not necessarily that it was crazy. It's just it just is one of the more complicated, and it was a PCB remediation site, so polychlorinated biphenyls, and there's just a lot of considerations that you have to weigh when dealing with PCB waste, and in this case, it was in soil. So we had to work very, very closely with the EPA developing a grid system to sample it and address it and, you know, see if it's over the 50 ppm limit, in which then we'd have to ship it off as a haz waste. So it was kind of a lot of moving parts, and that was a very interesting project.
No doubt about it. That would definitely, because you could have taken that so many ways, so many different cost factors could enter into the equation. So, you know, that's the beauty of it. You know, managing waste truly is an art. And, you know, it's important to have your team really think through what the best use is and what's the most bang for the buck. Because, again, you got to make sure you get in the right spot, because when you use a landfill, it's always important to remember, mm-hmm. That's not the end of the story for you. You want to make sure it's managed correctly. You want to make sure it's got a, you know, long life, because there are a lot of horror stories out there. And that was the one I was going to share. Is I know we've had a number of clients through the years that they dispose of waste at a facility that has gone out of business, and it turns out they weren't managing things the right way. So yeah. I guess maybe another tip to our listening audience would be don't be afraid to audit your disposal facilities.
Yes. You know, we want to be good stewards of our environment. You know, this is the only world we're given, so we need to take care of it. You know, vet those places to really make sure that where you're sending it is going to be there for a while and has proper financial assurance and everything. But yeah, I do love what you said, though. It is a bit a cost benefit analysis. I mean, and that's so something you have to think about. It is an art. You know, the easy solution to this site that we worked on would have been, well, let's just dig it all up and just send it off as haz waste. But that wouldn't have been good for our client. And, you know, it would have completely ruined their budget. So it is weighing those kind of considerations.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, I can vouch for Annie McElwain. She is a consummate professional, and she looks at all potential opportunities to do it the right way, make sure it's being managed right, mm-hmm. and take care of our clients' interests. So I'm going to, you know, always compliment you there, because you are world class when it comes to that. Annie, thank you so much for joining us. To our listening audience, if you've got anything out there, you got questions or something that we talked about, you'd like to know more about it, don't hesitate to go to our website, ppmco.com, under contact us, send a note to Annie, send a note to me, and we'll be happy to follow up with you. Anything else you want to say as we get ready to wrap up our podcast?
I think we covered it all. Obviously, it was a very high-level, broad view, but I think in the future, there will be a few more kind of deeper dives into things like universal waste and aerosol cans. And so y'all just keep listening in.
Absolutely. Well, Annie hit on the head. And this is Todd Perry signing off. And thank you for tuning in to PPM Simplifies. Thank you for finding our podcast. For more information, be sure to visit our website at ppmco.com. To stay updated on new episodes, feel free to subscribe to PPM Simplifies on your podcast app of choice. Until next time, this is PPM Simplifies.